Hey y'all, this is Mark. A quick note, today's episode is a replay of a show that first aired in December of 2018. I'm replaying it in November of 2021 because we've been getting lots of questions about Revillon dinners in New Orleans, and most of those can be answered in this discussion with Ian McNulty. Enjoy it and know that we'll be back soon with a new episode.
You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 79. The last show was a Q&A episode where I answered listener questions submitted from our Facebook group. They covered lots of topics, including what are some of the best art museums in the city, who has the best snowballs, and what was the city like when the Saints last won the Super Bowl. In all, there were 18 questions plus a lightning round. It was a lot of fun. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Today's episode is all about New Orleans food, drink, and dining during the holidays. I'm joined once again by Ian McNulty, who was with us back in episode 73. This is a fun discussion, too, where we talk about the tradition of Revillon, old fashions, and a whole lot more. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. Support comes from the Historic New Orleans Collection, the city's premier history museum, located at 520 Royal Street in the heart of the French Quarter. There you'll get to explore three centuries of great New Orleans stories in some of our most historic spaces, and admission is free. Don't miss the immersive film about the history of the French Quarter at night or any of the museum's changing exhibitions in the new Tricentennial Wing. Go to hnoc.org/visit to plan your trip. Today's episode is sponsored by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. You can find out more at patreon.com/beyondbourbonst. We have perks at all levels, and if you join at the $10 level or higher, we'll mention you on an episode. Now, let's jump into today's episode and my discussion with Ian McNulty. Today's show is all about New Orleans food, dining, and drinks during the holiday season. To help me dive into Revillon, Mirlitan casserole, and more, I've asked a previous guest to join me. He's the author of two books and a columnist for the New Orleans Advocate newspaper, where he writes food news and restaurant reviews. You can also hear him talk about the New Orleans food scene through his local series, Where You Eat, on WWNO Radio. Welcome back to the show, Mr. Ian McNulty. How are you?
Hey, Mark. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to have you back on the podcast. Our last visit was back on episode 73, where we talked about the overall New Orleans food scene. But today, I want to dive into the history and the traditions surrounding the holidays. I've been getting lots of questions about Revillon, about favorite foods and drink and more, and I thought, I know just the person to help me. So thanks.
Well, I love the holidays in New Orleans, and I got to tell you, I mean, this is an idea I've had for a while. I mean, I really think the holidays in New Orleans are... they're like one of the greatest seasons that the locals kind of keep for themselves. You know, the fall is when tourism booms. Of course, there's Carnival, Mardi Gras, the festival season in the spring. You know, in the summer, only the real diehards are coming out for that heat. Wintertime, the December in particular, the depths of the holiday season, it's a time for a lot of family stuff in New Orleans. So mm-hmm. It tends to be a little more insular, sure. There aren't as many big festivals. People aren't scheduling all these big extravaganza kind of things because for that very reason, and people aren't traveling as much nationally to here. But there's a certain just warmth and community spirit to it, and a lot of the traditions that this community has go through food. So it actually is a great time to visit here if you're a traveler, because you get to see New Orleans in this sort of like at home moment.
You know? It's a good point. It is sort of an inside feel. Even Revillon, as we'll talk about in a moment, it had its origins in New Orleans homes, Mm-hmm. And it does feel that way even as it's carried into the modern tradition. You're right.
Right. Yeah. I love seeing the city dressed up for Christmas. I mean, this is not a city that gets a lot of snow,
no,
right? Like, we're not, this is not, you know, the typical like peaked roof, snowy streets kind of thing. It's, you know, it's still a subtropical Christmas, but it's kind of cool to see like red Christmas bows on the palmetto leaves. And I mean, let's face it, like those live oaks meandering over the streets and people decorate them with their lights. They're beautiful. Like the wrought iron balconies and galleries and the porches and the architecture here. They really dress up nice for the holidays. You know?
You're right. We were just before we came on lamenting New Orleans cold. It's all of, you know, 40 degrees and damp this morning.
Gumbo weather.
There you go. And that's a good segue into one of the things I want to talk about is Réveillon, this tradition. So maybe let's first talk about what is Réveillon.
Right. So Réveillon is, it's a tradition from France that originally, you know, was something that was celebrated in the home. It has very religious overtones in the beginning of that. It was the meal served at home after midnight mass to Catholics when they're coming back and they're breaking the fast.
The all day fast.
Right, right. Which, you know, is no longer even church dictate anymore. You know, some people still can do that, but it's, you know, that's not by the book anymore. But the stories from the old days tell of these groaning boards that would be set out for these families coming back home. And in New Orleans, this was one of the, you know, vestigial French heritage traditions that lived on for a long time. And in my understanding of it, the histories that I've read of it, it started to die away in mm-hmm. that form as more American tropes of the holidays took root, as New Orleans became less of a French-speaking, French-allied city and more of an American one with this, you know, interesting French-Spanish colonial New World culture to it. And so in my understanding, Réveillon had basically died out. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, the word Réveillon comes from the French for reawakening, right? So that restorative meal after mass on midnight mass to welcome the Christmas day. Well, Réveillon itself was reawakened in New Orleans and transformed along the way by a campaign to make it a restaurant promotion to, in a way, goose business for restaurants in December when things are naturally slow because the tourism bookings and the conventions are off for the holidays. And it has grown and grown and grown and transformed, and restaurants have really embraced it and made it into this sort of holiday dining season. So it still has the roots in that, you know, the idea of coming together for a feast.
Sure.
Now it's, you know, instead of being held the social customs of home, it relates more to the social habits of today, going out to eat, dining with your friends. And the way that locals have embraced it is typically by, you know, you don't see people having Réveillon for one or two very often, although you certainly can. It's the kind of thing where people say, hey, let's all go out, do a Réveillon.
Yes.
You know? And so very often the menus that are offered are good deals. And so that's part of the allure. But it runs the map, really. Some of them are quite good bargains. Others take the exact opposite approach and say, no, we're going for gold here. We're gonna put out this spread that's going to be, you know, one of the most lavish meals this restaurant produces all year for the general public.
Yeah, right? I love this spread. And so typically, a place like the Gumbo Shop is on the low end in terms of price, but certainly not quality. But they traditionally stay right near the bottom, or around mid-30s, maybe $40. And we should mention the traditional Réveillon is usually three courses, right?
Yes.
Three to four.
At least, yeah, it's a multi-course set price meal. So
right.
No matter what, you know, if you go to their, if you look up followyourjoy.com,
right.
That's where all the New Orleans Christmas stuff lives. You can see all these menus that they have there. And each one is a prefix table d'hôte kind of menu. So you're paying one price for it, then, you know, plus your drinks and all that. Uh-huh. But interestingly, the restaurants have found their own ways to put their own spin on it. So
yeah.
It's not a simply, you know, salad, entree, dessert. I mean, some restaurants stick to that,
mm-hmm.
but others have expanded it. Like we said, some of them go for broke and they'll have, I think Commander's Palace does seven courses this year. I've seen as many as nine courses.
Right.
Some of them, I think the floor is probably in the high $20 mark for a multi-course meal, which
mm-hmm.
is a good deal.
It is,
others
sure.
are up near 100 per
right.
person before drinks, you know.
Right.
But then, you know, even within that format, the restaurants can get pretty creative. Sometimes your course is a drink, or they just throw in a little lagniappe course.
Like, sure. It's
three courses plus, you right. know, and one of those pluses could be a glass of wine when you get in the door, an eggnog on the way out,
that's
whatever.
Right.
So it's fun. The restaurants do make it very festive, and they usually are serving their full menus alongside this, but mm-hmm. the menus that the chefs and the restaurants produce tend to be highly seasonal, which in New Orleans is, you know, a lot of game, a lot of citrus, mm-hmm. I think pecans. A lot of traditional New Orleans foods that people associate are good for the cold weather. Gumbo,
yeah.
You mentioned it earlier. This is gumbo weather, right? Any little nip of cool.
That's right. It's gumbo. Anything below 70
right,
is gumbo.
Right. Yeah, that's cool for our audience.
But you are right. And it does, to your earlier point, it kind of pulls those traditions of the things. When you go to family parties this time of year, some of those foods are the same kind of food you're having. But then we go out as New Orleanians, as a group, usually, like you said, to Revion and get to enjoy some of those things. Maybe different, although you have duck is on a lot of menu
right.
this time of year.
Yeah, the game
idea. But this time of year, if you're friends with a hunter, you go to their house for a Christmas celebration, you're probably going to get some roasted duck or smoked duck.
At the restaurant, you probably don't have to be quite as careful for the shot.
That's so, right.
little probably. Pieces of projectile in your duck, but yes.
But I like that there's a whole range. Again, Gumbo Shop comes to mind because one of their courses is a classic New Orleans drink, a Café Brûlée.
Yeah.
And that becomes either the fourth course or maybe like just a lagniappe. And so it's a great way to tie those in. I was at the Ritz last week for my first Revion dinner of the year, and they had a little amuse bouche, but they also offer a wine pairing, and they go kind of high end with it.
So this is the time of year where if you're walking around New Orleans, and we should say a lot of the Revions, they're spread all over the city, but I would say the majority of more than half of the, I think 60 plus this year are in the French Quarter. And that's typical. That's the downtown restaurant.
And it started, right?
French
when
Quarter.
The
that's
rejuvenation of Revion as we know it today really started in the French Quarter.
Right, which is fitting. I mean, yep. It's the historic core and also where a lot of the restaurants serve, you know, maybe the French Quarter doesn't get as many tourists as it does in December as throughout the rest of the year. So it's a good, you know, good way to get the locals in. And you see them. That's what I love about it. You see these flocks of friends and neighbors. And if it's, you know, if the weather's cooperating, they're wearing their big coats and their hats and their scarves and everything, you know, like, I mean, again, this is not like tromping through the snow weather.
No,
right? This
no.
is 45 degrees or something
right.
like this.
Right, but you're right. So I think it's next Sunday coming up is Christmas caroling in Jackson Square.
So fun.
And you will see people sort of fan out before and after, and you'll run into people you know, because this is New Orleans,
yes.
out for Revion meals.
Yes, yeah. And the French Quarter just feels, again, like a gigantic neighborhood, and it's the, you know, it's the center of New Orleans, and you see people from all over the metro area who have come down there to go to their favorite places. Mm-hmm. Locals tend to use the Revion two different ways, and visitors can certainly do this also. It's a way to go back to your old favorites, which are, you know, a lot of the famous name restaurants in New Orleans participate in this downtown. And it's, on the other hand, it's also a way to try out something new with a, you know, kind of a festive atmosphere, or maybe, you know, you're hedging your bets a little bit
sure.
with a deal on the menu. So I hear two schools of thought on that. Like, oh, we always go to Arno's. We always go to Antoine's. We always go to Bayona, whatever it is for the Revion. Or other people have been dying all year to try this place. Mm-hmm. It opened in August or whatever, and now I'm gonna go hit it up.
Sure.
And this year, the format for Revion has changed a little bit. You know, the people who organize it, which is the French Quarter Festival producers,
sure.
they're pretty savvy at adjusting it year to year. They get feedback from chefs and the visitors. And this year, the change was to open it up a little bit with something called Petit Revion, small
right.
Revion. And it's an idea that uses the same idea, same format of that price fix menu, but with small plates. So it might be four or five courses, but they're all, none of these are entree size. You know, they're samplings of things. They're, you know, I dare say tapas size in some cases.
And we talked about the tapas trend last time,
yeah.
so it makes sense.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. And the way that it's opened up the door for some other restaurants to get involved that maybe are a little more modern, you know, mm-hmm. and they want to do a little more of that small plate thing than the grand, you know, here's our cassoulet, here's our roasted duck, whatever. And so there's a, you know, good, I think like six to 8 different restaurants that weren't in the running at all
right.
in previous Revillons who have embraced that this year, some of the more modern ones.
Well, and I love it's kind of introduced the sort of some of the neighborhoods to it.
Right. And for visitors, it is, you know, you can check out these maps and where all these things are and see like, oh, different parts of town. Maybe it'd be nice to go up to Cafe des Gars up in Mid-City, or like there's a few uptown. You know, it's spread around a little bit. Mm-hmm. The French Quarter is, though, you know, the French Quarter and the CBD is where they're, you know, if you look on the map, it's one big dot. And the rest of the dots are spread out all over.
Which also makes it nice. I think as a visitor, that's probably the area where you're staying.
True.
And if you're local like us, then as you said, it's festive, because one of the great things you can do is wander through the old school hotels and see the terrific light displays.
Oh yeah, I have such a sentimental romantic bent for the French Quarter. I mean, I see the warts, believe me, and I want it to be better in a lot of different ways. But I love that historic core for our city. It's such a treasure. It's got such a heritage. There's so many ways that we can engage with it and live in it and be part of it. And like, again, with the holiday season, it feels like it's a little more of the locals' time there. Mm-hmm. I love going out for a nice dinner and then, you know, bookending it with a drink at a, you know, a place on the way, yep. and maybe on somewhere afterwards.
Sure.
You know, especially if it's like an, you know, big weekend night in the quarter. And those hotel bars are done up very nicely. The decor is great. The bar is usually very festive. You know, I'm thinking of the Hotel Montlion in the quarter. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of the Roosevelt with the Sazerac bar and that
sure.
long lobby. The Ritz, as you mentioned. Yeah.
The Ritz right now has an almost full-size gingerbread rendition of a streetcar.
Yeah.
And it's like maybe 7/8. It's enormous.
Yeah.
And that's worth, you know, just go and wander through to check it out.
And you see everybody else doing it. It's yep. like it's like Christmas trick or treating or something, where people are just going from place to place, and they're, you know, the go cup culture doesn't hurt one little bit, and you know.
And of course, this being New Orleans, you run into people you know.
Yeah, of course.
So I love that point you make about it. It really is one of the things. Mardi Gras sort of famously is really a party we throw for ourselves that we invite an awful lot of visitors to. But this time of year seems to be one where it is a fun time if you're a tourist and you're looking for off season and to experience what you and I are talking about. But it does still feel like it's very much for us, about us, celebrating tradition, celebrating friendship, celebrating the best of the city.
And not surprisingly, you know, a lot of that happens out at our restaurants and bars, yeah. the places where New Orleans convenes, which, you know, is a beautiful thing for visitors, because I think I might have said something like this in our previous visit, but I believe in it. Like if you're mm-hmm. coming here and you're pursuing, you know, the eating and drinking with gusto, you're taking time to think about the places you want to go to, you're talking about it beforehand, you're savoring it afterwards. I mean, you're doing exactly what New Orleans people do.
That's right.
When they're at their happiest, you know, they're most themselves, they're living their full lives. You know, this is yep. what they do. They love eating and drinking, going out to these restaurants and bars, seeing each other, being part of this New Orleans thing. You know, it's just a big part of our culture. It's not just an amenity for a night out. It's something that a lot of people here share and take very seriously, and it's an excellent way as visitors to feel like you've really engaged.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and you were talking about that they keep up with changes to Revillon. So now we essentially have quote unquote traditional Revillon with three to four courses. But even that is split with traditional menus and contemporary.
It's an interesting tidbit. I mean, they come up with these menus in August. That's the deadline. So when New Orleans is at its hottest and its stickiest and its least likely to be wanting to talk about like warm, hearty foods, right. That's when these menus are being crafted in these restaurants. But the chefs that I talked to, they draw from some very different traditions. Some of them can just go back into the archives of their own restaurants.
Sure.
Talk to Chef Marno's, for instance. They have a 100-year history. So, you know, right. he can pull out these old menus and say, wow, this would be a fun one to reinterpret for, you know, for modern audiences. They have daube glacé on their mm-hmm. menu, which is a great holiday dish, Creole holiday dish. It's similar to like a hogshead cheese,
yeah.
but with beef. And it's, you know, it's a spread, and it's just, it's very traditional. It's, in fact, that's a dish you might see on a lot of tables at people's homes when they're entertaining for the holidays, not necessarily on a, you know, weekly, daily basis, Sunday supper kind of thing. But for the holidays, yeah, they might get it from certain specialty suppliers, grocery stores, whatever. So that's something that Arno's pulls out of its archives for its menu.
It's funny you mentioned that. I wrote to a couple of friends who are chefs, and Mary Saulnier wrote back, and that was exactly what she mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so they have, obviously, we talked about in the last episode, They've reopened this year Gabrielle's, and I think they're participating as well as in Revion.
First Revion, yeah. That's I haven't been there yet for this particular menu, but it does look really good.
And it fits their style too, with the heavy does. on the duck and quail and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. The brown food, the hearty, delicious brown.
But that's interesting. That you're right. Some of that we have, I think, 7 restaurants that are over 100 years old in the city, 6 or 7, and so they literally can go back in their own catalogs and see what they might have served.
Now, others on the other end of the spectrum, I've talked to Chef Juan Carlos over at Sobu, and that's a very contemporary restaurant from the Commander's Palace family. Well, Chef Juan Carlos is from Puerto Rico, so he was drawing on his own family's traditions there. So he's got tamales with pork rinds on top, and he ends the meal with a coquito, which is the Puerto Rican eggnog, which is 3 different milks: coconut milk, cream de coco, another evaporated milk, and then, of course, Don Q rum, just a big, heavy dose of rum and these 3 milks. And it's delicious. I had a sip of it the other day. It's good. But again, that's that festive way to tie these meals together, to add something to it. And the chefs and restaurateurs can delve into their own histories with it. They can delve into Creole history. They can get modern with it. It's a wide open palate within this format. And that's another reason why it's appealing, because you can, even locals who may do a few of them, they may mix it up like that.
Yep. Well, that's absolutely what we do. Sobu is definitely on the agenda for this year because of that, because it's very different. It's also a great place to have a cocktail, by the way.
Oh, sure. Fine bar. Yeah. Right in the middle of things, too.
Right.
South
of Bourbon, they say. And that gets into the last couple of years. I think there's also Revion on the Rocks.
Right. That's strictly cocktails. This is the time of year where we all say we're going to get together with people. I've been saying it for weeks to people I run into. Oh, let's do that. Let's get together before the end of the year. And you start looking at the calendar like, well, see, company party. No, we're on the books for this. Got the kids thing. Got some out of town. Right. Okay. When is that going to happen? Revion on the Rocks is strictly cocktails, but done in the holiday spirit and served at a number of bars. Some of them are restaurant bars. Some of them are just bars, right? And, if you're looking for an excuse to let's go try some holiday cocktails, have a quick meetup, have a happy hour after work, it's kind of a fun way to do that.
And if you have the time and the energy, you can combine the two. So you can kind of do Revion on the Rocks and then go look at a couple of the small plate Revion.
Yeah, sure.
And that's a fun way to sort of a progressive almost, if you will, to have a good time and enjoy that. But you're right. I also think Revion provides that outlet. Like you said, everybody's busy this time of year. Everyone wants to get together. Revion is something that everybody can come to. You're not bringing anything. You're just showing up.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you don't worry about bringing a dish. Don't even worry about staying for staying for hours and hours. It's like that. Sometimes that really works, though, for people to get together, It gives it a nice framework and a theme to it.
Sure, absolutely. And we'll put all the links to that over in the show notes at beyondbourbonst.com. But as Ian mentioned, followyourjoy.com, I think, or is it .org?
It's .com,
But Follow Your Joy, and we'll put a link to it, is where they update every year all the menus. And so you can see the breakdowns, you can see the prices, you can see the actual menu for every place. I think there's a handy map, so you can kind of take a look with what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's well done.
Yeah. Well, Ian, now I kind of want to move on a little bit, although we sort of hit this. I want to talk just a bit about traditional holiday foods and drinks. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple of listener questions, so we'll get to those too.
Okay, great.
But when you think about holidays in New Orleans, what kind of foods come to mind when you are having the party, or you're going to someone's house, or what you might see on a Christmas Day celebration here in the
Rice.
City? Rice.
This is the everyone and anyone who's from New Orleans is like, yeah, what's the big deal? But people who aren't from New Orleans, rice is not necessarily always like a traditional dish on your holiday table. But since I've married into a New Orleans family, gosh, every holiday meal is rice, because you need it for the gravy, you need it for the etouffee, you need it for the shrimp creole, yeah, whatever they're making, there's rice on the table. So I say that almost as a joke, but it is. Very local Louisiana thing. I mean, think about the number of traditional dishes that we have here that are based on rice. Why? Well, we grow a lot of rice here in Louisiana. But the holiday table in New Orleans is a mix of some of the classic Louisiana flavors that people know about. Gumbo, I mean, that is a family dish, right? Yeah. So out comes the gumbo. It's a family gathering.
Feeds it's warm, it's filling.
A lot of pride in the family recipe, and that's one that cuts across a lot of boundaries, you know, like rich people and poor people. They're into their gumbo. You know, families on both sides of town, any which way, they have their family recipe for gumbo. The very different styles, but the idea of having a gumbo for the holidays is
you get thick and thin. You get chicken and andouille. You get a seafood gumbo.
Right. So, you know, dishes like that. But then we get into some that are more like they're definitely Louisiana dishes, but they're more holiday oddities. You know, like you don't see melaton too often in New Orleans beyond the holidays. I mean, it's a seasonal dish, sure. Right? It's coming into its own in the late fall and holiday season. It's a kind of dish you don't see on too many menus. You know, there's a couple old school places that keep it around.
Yeah.
But, you know. You know, Thrillist is not going to break out the Millennial's Guide to Melaton Dishes right. in New Orleans with a slideshow and a quiz on the bottom. Like, it's just not going to happen.
That's
right?
true.
It's not a cool food
it's
at all.
It's what you're going to get at your aunt or your grandmother's house or some local New Orleanian who invites you over.
Right, in a Corningware dish exactly. with like a little bit of moisture on top, and you lift it up, and maybe there's some shrimp mixed in there. Yes, we should tell people what
that's
it is.
Right. So we should... So you just described like the way it has to be served, I think, like by law in Louisiana. Yeah. But the melaton is, it's in the cactus family, I think, right?
Yeah.
It looks like a bell pepper that's prickly.
Right.
Like a light green bell pepper that's prickly. It has a mild flavor.
Yep. In Mexico, I think they call it the chayote. I'm probably mispronouncing that. But
sure.
Here it's melaton, whatever. You know,
and you will typically see it, as you describe, in the white Corningware dish that we all grew up with the little blue flowers on the side.
Right. Like, so this dish is to New Orleans as the string bean casserole with fancy French onions
well
is
put.
To the rest of America,
well
basically. That's what it is. You know, so, and believe me, we have that too.
Right.
There's room on the table for that.
So it's a casserole. So, right. Often you do see it combined with shrimp, which is a nice kind of mellow flavor with it. And then the typical sort of bread stuffing, if you will, kind of all mixed together, sometimes a little bit more exotic than that. But it's typically that, right?
Yeah.
It's a filling side dish.
We have our own pantheon of other dishes, like oyster patties is one that comes up in the holidays, which is not... You know, it's not really what you think of when if you haven't seen this before and you imagine oyster patty. What I don't know what that is. You know, it's basically a pastry. It's a vol-au-vent. It's that little hat shaped chimney shaped pastry dough, puff pastry thing with a little cap of a top on it, and it's filled with usually with oysters cooked down and like kind of a peppery cream sauce kind of thing. This recipes differ, but the idea is like you know.
Very traditional here in New Orleans.
Oyster gravy in this puff pastry, yeah.
And it's the time of year you will hear New Orleanians talk. You can't talk about oyster patties without talking about McKenzie's,
right?
A bakery that doesn't exist anymore, but it is where most home cooks would go get their patties or the little pastry shells
yeah.
to then make your oyster dish to go inside.
It's the kind of thing that it's now a grocery store or a bakery
right.
staple. Which again, a little bit of a sidebar here, but the holidays in New Orleans, I love going to the grocery stores. You know, because I love seeing, especially when it gets down to the wire, when it gets closer, because. I'm usually going in for booze or wine or some ingredient or just, you know, cheese or, you know, something basic that I'm bringing to the table. But, you know, the serious cooks of families are there and they're loading up those grocery carts and they're so serious and they're so specific. And if you spy, you know, around the corner, like lightly look in, you can see entire family recipes like arrayed there for holiday dishes. Or don't spy. I mean, just ask somebody. They're extremely friendly and talkative
right.
when it comes to food in this town. But yeah, what some others, you know, there's the, you know, the traditional New Orleans dishes that come around. There's the sort of the holiday specials that come through. And Griots and Grits is another classic.
James
example.
Cullen, who recently became the chef at the Opera Lawn.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote back, and that's what he mentioned, Griots and Grits. Mary Sonia also mentioned the Bûche de Noël.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah, that's a fun one.
And you'll see that on a couple of the Revillon menus as the dessert.
Right. Yeah, that's the, you know, the traditional Yule log cake, right? Which, you know, gives the cake maker, the pastry chef a chance to like kind of get cutesy
shine
and decorative with it. Yeah, it looks like something that can be, you know, holiday decor that you can eat, basically.
Yep.
That's fun. You know, it's got a French connection to it. It's almost like our seasonal precursor to the king cake to come. It's like, oh, let's get all excited about the Bûche Noël.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah, that's a great one. But you know, even some simple stuff like you know, this is the season for pralines, you know, or like they're available year round, of course, but you know, you just think about like toasting those pecans and cooking down the sugar. And like, I think traditionally, you know, the sugar harvest would have come in about this time of year, you know, it seems like, you know, it's that simple holiday sweet and just so local, right?
Right.
And just even the colors of it are just homey, brown, burnished. Yeah.
Fun. In our house, we always grew up with that praline topping on top of the sweet potatoes too.
Oh yes.
And then I married someone who wasn't from here, and so we have the marshmallows. So now we're house divided. We have the sweet potatoes with half praline topping and half marshmallows. So there's something for everyone.
I'm glad you guys could find a workaround.
Happy medium, right?
Didn't split up the family.
No, it was close, but we worked it out. Okay. I love you, sweetheart.
love wins in the end.
And then you also get, I think, at least for me, when you think about the holidays, you think about great drinks as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I think like an old fashioned, the Cafe Brulo we mentioned, which is a real classic. You'll see it at Antoine's and Arnaud's and Galatoire's.
Yeah.
Sort of a flaming brandy coffee.
Yeah, it's a coffee drink. They start with coffee. They add the brandy, maybe some orange liqueur, orange peel, cinnamon, clove. I mean, it's incredibly fragrant. It's also very theatrical.
Yeah, like, they'll flame it up.
Yeah, if you're serving it at a restaurant, the waiters are typically pretty adept at you know, lacing your table with blue flames, and everyone's, you know, fooing and eyeing, and you've already had a couple bottles of wine at a big table by this point. So it's that drink that that simultaneously gives you the energy to go on and convinces you that it's a good idea. You know, it's that like after dinner drink that just, or after a, in some cases in this town, a long Friday lunch that that keeps things going into the darkness.
It's one of those drinks I never think about and never crave until this time of year. And then like some switch goes off in my brain and I think, oh, well, of course we should have that.
When people see it, you know, it's not something you necessarily crave in August or something like this, right? But when people see it, I mean, it has its own specialized equipment and gear, which is just cool when a dish has that kind of
thing. Part of the tradition.
Family heirloom kind of stuff.
So we do have three listener questions.
Great.
If you're good with that.
Yeah,
a couple people wrote in.
I'm game.
So Jennifer Costa asks, what's Ian's favorite take on an old-fashioned, and where is his favorite place for one that's more traditional?
Barring
that, a nice sipping drink for 3 or 4-course meals.
Well, let's talk about the old-fashioned. I'm really glad you brought that up. I recently did a story on the old-fashioned, particularly for the holidays, so I've been well-primed on this. But to me, the old-fashioned, it's a classic drink that's good year-round, but it just comes into its own during the holidays. You know, the bitters and the orange peel, it kind of has that seasonal Christmas aroma to it, you know. But more importantly, like the old fashioned, you know, just think about it for a second. Like who drank an old fashioned? Who taught you how to make one? Who introduced you to the drink? It's usually, for a lot of people, it's somebody in their family, somebody close. It was dad, grandpa, your aunt, who was a lot of fun. Maybe they're not with us anymore. The old fashioned becomes sort of a tribute drink when you make one, when you drink one. A lot of people told me they kind of think back to that person. And you know, it's just flat out a good drink. It's not too fancy. You know, if you're going to pick one drink for everybody at a holiday party, it's got the bona fides to satisfy the serious cocktail aficionado, but anyone who likes a whiskey drink can get behind it. It's strong, it's sweet, it's mellowed, there's bitters in it, it's nice, it's a good drink. And there's some great ones around New Orleans. I mean, honestly, one of the best ones I've had in a recent sweep of trying to find them around the city was Barrel Proof, that whiskey bar in the Lower Garden District. They make it with Old Granddad, which is a no-nonsense, just good bourbon. And it's really well done, and it's sort of like one of the drinks that bar takes a lot of pride in, and it shows. It's an excellent drink. It's good for happy hour, too. Really cheap. I think it's like $3.50 at happy hour or something. Dangerous.
Yes. That's a good bar, by the way, but that's right. It is a place you walk in. They don't ask you what kind of whiskey you want. It's on the chalkboard, I think. But it's a well-made old fashioned.
I'll give you a few other alternatives, though. I found a really interesting one at this bar called Whiskey and Sticks. It's a cigar bar, whiskey bar on Bayou Road. Fairly new, just opened over the summer. Hmm. It's very new. But the sweet is Steen's cane syrup. That dark black, just real kind of earthy flavored. Yeah. Local cane syrup, and so that's an interesting one. DTB down the bayou on Oak Street, great modern Louisiana restaurant. They make one that I honestly thought I was not going to like it. It's the brown butter old-fashioned.
I read about that. I haven't been yet.
Yeah, so the bourbon has butter infused into it, and that usually sends off some alarms in me, like, I don't know. I don't want bacon in my cocktails. I don't want all this stuff. I don't, you know, maybe, you know, pickled shrimp in my Bloody Mary, but, you know, don't get too carried away with all the savory stuff. But let me tell you, the brown butter old-fashioned works.
Really?
It just mellows it. It's got this velvety texture to it. It does taste a little buttery. You can get in there, but that's not a bad thing when you combine it with bourbon and the bitters and everything. So that's a DTB.
And if you go, if I could interrupt for one second, sure. If you go to Boucherie or Brightson's for Revillon, that's right there for both of those.
Oh, yeah.
That's not
far.
Good call.
You know, and another one that I thought was just warmed my heart was Mandina's restaurant has the Miss Hilda Old Fashioned. Now, Mandina's has been around since 1932.
Yep, an institution.
Miss Hilda was the proprietress until 1979 at her death, but she ran it from World War II until then. She was in charge of the salads, amongst many of the other things, worked every day, lived in the restaurant upstairs, in the upstairs from the dining room in the apartment. And after every shift, she had a old-fashioned or two, and she made them her way, which was with Crown Royal. Not, you know, that's fine. A whole stick of fruit, pineapple and everything. Some people don't like all that fruit on there, but this is the way they do it. And then they top it with a floater of Bacardi rum, just because. Just because why? Because that's the way Miss Hilda liked it. And come on, when we talk about a tribute drink.
It's all the things you mentioned, right?
That is a tribute drink. I mean, it's a tribute drink to this lady who ran the place for so long, is no longer with us. And every time anybody orders it, they say her name and the family. Mm-hmm. It lives on their menu. I mean, that's what a great drink is about. You can quibble with whether, you know, if you like the mixture of those booze, you think pineapple belongs in an old-fashioned or not. But that idea of honoring somebody through a drink, that seals it for me. I mean, that speaks right to the sentimental / alcohol loving part of my heart.
Yeah, that's a great story all the way around.
Yeah.
So I got another one for you. Lisa Chimola, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, and I should since I've met you, Lisa. For Ian's perfect menu, what's the one dish that needs to be included at the holidays?
Oysters. In some way, shape, or form, which actually we talked about oyster patties, but oyster dressing is another thing. You know, it's the oyster stuffing. It's very typical on the New Orleans table. But oysters in some way, shape, or form, because it's the season, and they're so delicious, and they're abundant. You can get them anywhere. We recently had a family party where I got just a box of oysters, cracked them open, you know, was serving them to the grandfather-in-law, the mother and father-in-law, my wife, the brother, everyone loved it, you know, and it was the simplest thing to do, and it was inexpensive because it's the season and it's Louisiana and they're everywhere. We baked some off, ate some raw. You know, my family, they also keep some from the dressing and they fry them up the next day and make po'boys out of them. Mm-hmm. So oysters. It's the season. Keep them around. And if you can't have shellfish, you know, if there's some problem with the oysters in you, or you're just not into oysters whatsoever, I'll give you an alternative. Is bourbon a dish?
We'll say yes.
Okay. For the holiday. Have some nice bourbon around. A couple rocks in the glass. I like bourbon in the summertime, but bourbon in the winter, well, passes for it here. It just fits, you know.
You know, it's interesting you said that about the old-fashioned, because I think of it, it's sort of my go-to drink when I'm out any time of the year. But it does conjure up a different taste or just different thoughts at the holidays. Mm-hmm. And on the oysters, my neighbor came home with a sack or two of oysters the other day, just because. And it wasn't until the next day that it hit me that, like, this doesn't happen everywhere in America.
It does not. Right? Now, this is a great luxury in other places to have, you know, oysters that maybe you procure for $2 each or something.
Exactly.
I mean, here you can go to a seafood market and get a box or a sack of them or whatever for less than it costs to get a steak out at a steakhouse, and you can spend an hour opening up oysters and sharing them with your family. I've eaten great oysters off of the back of tailgates of trucks,
right,
back porches, kitchens. You can do them up fancy if you want, make your own little, you know, seafood plateau, or you can just eat them out of hand, you know. And it's one of those things that's, it's local, it's abundant, it's accessible, but it still seems very luxurious because it's oysters.
Yeah, it is. And you're right. It's sort of the time of year, right?
Yeah.
Not too far off, we'll be turning our attention towards crawfish.
Right.
And, you know, so it just fits the time. This last one is similar to the previous one, but this one comes from my wife, Marie, so we have to ask it. What food or dish makes it feel like the holidays for you? And we'll go beyond oysters, since you said oysters.
Ah, gosh. I mean, I mean, it, for me, the holidays, I mean, it does go way back to me for the holidays that I grew up with. You know, I mean, I'm an adopted New Orleanian, but the holidays that I grew up with, there was always cheese melted over things, usually something delicious made on with not so luxurious ingredients, like, you know, English muffins with crab meat on them. In our case, probably imitation crab meat with some cheese out of a jar melted on top of that. Another one that our family does is scallops. I'm from the Northeast originally, so scallops were very prevalent. And, you know, again, some sort of like cream cheese mixture that was melted over that onto Pepperidge Farm sandwich bread, you know, cut into little pieces so it looked fancy. But Mark, the way that I've learned to adjust those old, like, just I can't help but deep-seated cravings that I grew up with, and where I live now, is to adjust them a bit. So, like, we'll do that scallop dish with shrimp, you know, shrimp, which are local and still great this time of year. Maybe change up the cheese recipe a little bit. Maybe use some different bread, but still, like, get the same spirit of that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I go home and my family cooks up any of these dishes, you know, I'm in pajamas again. I'm 6 years old playing with Legos that I just got for Christmas. I mean, that's just wonderful, right? But, you know, tastes change. I'm in a different place now. I'd rather use some of the abundant local stuff and kind of transform it a little bit with those old cravings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, give me a Thomas's English muffin with all the nooks and crannies and some local crab meat with like sort of a sharp pimento cheese seeping into it. That's like sort of my hybrid dish that I just love. It speaks to me, but it's also got some local, so a little more local cred now than going to the grocery store up in New England again.
But that brings us back full circle, right? The holidays are a time to kind of revive traditions and think about the past and think about the people in the past, and also celebrate and enjoy with what you have near you, the people near you and the foods. And I think that all of that comes together nicely here in New Orleans.
God, that's what it's all about, Mark. I mean, let's face it. There's, you know, these days, anywhere you go, if you can spend some money, you're going to get great food. Mm-hmm. You know, the pleasure of living in New Orleans, of pursuing it, of exploring it, of talking about it with people like you, with your listeners who are into it, is just the way that the traditions here bind people together. And change is a tradition too. You know, it doesn't always have to be the same old thing, but like we have this framework. We have this New Orleans thing. We have this Creole flavor. We have these local ingredients, you know, and we can take those and do interesting things with them. We can go back into the past, like some of our Rivian chefs do. We can look forward. We can tie in our own traditions from wherever we are, whether that's Puerto Rico or Rhode Island, like me. And, you know, we can have a lot of fun with it and still, you know, have plenty to talk about.
Yeah. Well, Ian, this has been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for being on the show once again.
Anytime, Mark. It's great to talk about my favorite topic with people who really care about it.
You can find Ian on Twitter and Instagram at Ian McNulty NOLA, and we'll put all links to that over on the show notes. You can, of course, catch the wonderful program Where You Eat on WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio, and you can read your terrific columns. We'll link some of the recent ones about Revion, about the old-fashioned. Ian writes for the New Orleans Advocate here in New Orleans. Again, I hope this gives you guys a real taste of what we get to experience every day. And if you're thinking about coming, it's a wonderful time of year to come. A little bit of a lull before we get into the carnival season and Sugar Bowl and all that. And if you're local, it's a great time to get out and connect with people over old traditions and new ones.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Mark.
A big thanks to Ian McNulty for joining me today. I just love his passion and knowledge about New Orleans food and drink. You can find notes for today's show over at beyondbourbonst.com/79.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do.
Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.